In the book of Haggai, there's it starts off in the first chapter, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. But this is the prophet, and he's speaking to the people who have very much gotten to a place in their lives where they're comfortable with their lives and they're comfortable with where they are in the world, and they're very focused on their needs. They're living their lives in the world and not focused on the things of God. I've Bible study that we do every other Monday, and we've been going through the book of 1 John. And throughout 1 John, one of the themes, and especially as we're in the second and third chapters of 1 John, one of the themes that is clear, that the premise keeps coming up, is John warning us and telling us the importance of not being focused on the world, but being focused on the things of Christ. That we're either focused on the things of the world or we're focused on the things of Christ. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. And he gives warnings about what happens. And in fact, in the third chapter, you know, he makes it very clear that if you are focused on the things of the world, if you're focused on the things of the world, you are focused on the things of the enemy. And it's those attributes of the enemy that are going to make their way through your life. Conversely, if you're focused on the things of God and you're focused on Jesus Christ in your life, then those attributes of the spiritual realm and those attributes of Jesus Christ, those are the things that are going to come through you and become a part of your life. So we live in a culture where it's very easy for us to get caught up in the culture and to not give thought on a daily basis about the things of God. So as we're reading that, these verses really spoke to me. And I also want to share a story with you about it. So here's what the prophet says in Haggai. I'm going to start reading verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 4 or 5. First five verses. It says, in the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of the high priest. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then it goes on, just some great insights from there. But this is the thing that I want us to see. The people in the time of the prophet when he wrote this book, the people were focused on the things of their lives. They were focused on the things of the world and not focused on the things of God. The people were saying, because the house of God, the temple, laid there incomplete and in ruins. And as the people saw that, their response to it was, well, the time has not yet come. The time for the Lord's house to be built has not yet come. Here's what they were saying. They're looking and said, well, you know what? If God wants it done, he's going to stir people. He's going to bring it about. He's going to make it happen. Obviously, the time has not yet come for the house to be built, for the house to be repaired. They're looking at the situation and the circumstances, and they're determining God's will based on those circumstances. Meanwhile, God is saying, is it time for you to live in the comfort of your homes? You're paying attention to your own homes. You're making sure that you live in the paneled, well-furnished, well-taken care of homes that you dwell in, but you're not paying attention to my house. So what he's saying is, you're paying attention to your needs. You're paying attention to your worldly, carnal needs, but you're not paying attention to the spiritual. You're not paying attention to my house. You're living and looking at the world. You're not living and looking at me and at the word and at the truth and on spiritual things. You're living in the carnal. You're not living in the spiritual. It's so easy for us to look at things in our life and say, well, since this isn't happening, you know, it must not be God's time yet. If it was God's time, it would be happening. It's not yet the time for, you can fill in the blank. And, you know, maybe that God's been laying on your heart to begin a ministry or to do something in ministry or to volunteer for a ministry. Or maybe God's laid on your heart to just help someone else or to do something for someone else. Or maybe God's laid on your heart to go to the mission field and go on a mission trip. Or, you know, there could be any number of things that God's laying on your heart. And you think about it and you're aware of it and it's back there in your mind, but it just never really seems to be convenient. It just seems like the circumstances aren't lining up. Maybe the finances aren't there. Maybe the time isn't there. So you're aware of it, but you keep pushing it to the back of your mind, and it's easy for us to justify or rationalize in our minds and say, well, if it was God's timing, then all things would work together. If it was God's time, it would work. That's the same mistake that the people in the book of Haggai, in Haggai's time, were saying. Well, if it's God's timing, it would all work out. Obviously, it's not yet God's time because everything hasn't worked out yet. God's saying, you just go do it. If I said it, just go do it, and I'll take care of all the details. There's a story that I was reading. I think all of us know the name William Carey. William Carey was, if you will, he was really the father of current missionary work. And William Carey was alive in the late 1700s and into the early 1800s. And I think William Carey is most known for his work in India. But William Carey was a guy that was very unproductive in life. Everything he did, he kind of failed at. And he actually became a pastor of a small church. But he failed at even pastoring that small church because he was told that his messages were too boring. His presentation and the messages from the Word of God that he gave were too boring. So even at that, even being a pastor, he failed. So he was kind of struggling through life, but he had read a book. He had read Captain Cook's book on some of his voyages. And as he was reading about Captain Cook's experiences around the globe and going to different nations and going to different peoples that had never been seen before, it stirred something inside of William Carey. And what it stirred was the thought that there's a whole group of people out there that don't know Jesus Christ. We have the truth. We know the truth. They don't. We need to take it. Take that truth. Well, here's the thing. You and I today, we understand missions. And we understand. When we look at the Great Commission that Jesus gave, we understand that that's speaking for us. I don't think there's anybody, major church denominations that would by any way say that, well, that's not for us today. To us, it seems self-evident because we've been taught that way. But it's not always been that way. In fact, in William Carey's time, in the late 1700s, that was not the mindset. In fact, the mindset that was prevalent through most Protestant churches was that was something that Jesus said to his disciples. It was not something that was relevant for the church at that time. Jesus said it to the disciples. It was for them. When the disciples perished, so did that mandate. So did that commission. That was the standard mindset. I know it seems foreign to us, but that was the standard mindset. So when William Carey started to speak out and started to share and say, it's imperative for us to take the truth, to take the gospel, to take the good news around the globe to others, he really came up against a brick wall. Because that thought was so foreign to what the church had been teaching. Church accepted that that was no longer for that day. That was for the disciples and not beyond that point. So he started to write about it. He started to stir up people's passions about it and people's emotions about it. And he was ridiculed for it. It started to catch on with some other preachers, and so there's conversations about it. But he was referred to as the William Carey, the miserable enthusiast, because he was just annoying people with this, which was contrary to what the church body in the late 1700s, not just in England, but in America, and just the church body had accepted. There was no such thing as missions. It got to the point where William Carey had someone that was a mentor in his life, a mentor that he respected. In fact, this was the man that actually baptized William Carey. And he was so upset with William Carey and so tired of William Carey talking about this, he sat William Carey down. I'm going to read this quote directly. This is exactly what this man, this doctor, this man who was a spiritual mentor in William Carey's life, this is what he said to him. Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me. The mindset that had been prevalent in the mindset of this man was, you know what? When God determines to save the heathen, he'll do it, and it's not going to be up to you and I. That's the same attitude and mindset that we see here in the time of the prophet. Because Haggai is saying, God is speaking through him and saying to the people are saying, well, the time has not yet come for the house of God to be built. It's not yet time for the house of God to be repaired. We'll know. God will show us. God will do something. He'll bring the circumstances about. But obviously, because it's not happening, it's not yet time. And yet they were taking care of their own homes, taking care of their own dwellings. And that's where God challenged them on it. And the same thing is true for us. You know, William Carey, even though he was sat down by his mentor and told that he was wrong, William Carey, obviously, he wrote a book. I got to share this with you because you'll love this title. This is the title of the book that William Carey wrote. See if this would cause you to want to read this book. It was called An Inquiry. He wrote this in 1792. an inquiry into the obligations of Christians to use means for the conversion of the heathens, in which the religious state of the different nations of the world, the success of former undertakings, and the practicability of further undertakings are considered. That was the title. Tommy said, and off to the bookstore to see if he can find it. But it was a book that he wrote because he was so impassioned by what he knew to be true, because it's what the Holy Spirit told him. And of course, William Carey is known today as the father of missions. And he transformed the way that the body of Christ thought about taking the good news and reaching out to the unsaved. He's the one that really laid the foundations for what we just accept as standard fare. I think probably almost every church supports some kind of missionaries. I'm sure most every church probably has multiple missionaries or mission works that they support. Many of you who are listening have gone on mission trips. Certainly we all know people that have gone on mission trips. It is standard fare for us today. But it's because William Carey didn't just accept what was said at the time. And he didn't wait just because his mentor said, when God decides to save the heathen, he will do so. William Carey didn't accept that. William Carey accepted the mandate, the commission that Jesus had given. And he said, it doesn't matter what things look like. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to. And you know what? And that's exactly the right attitude, obviously. Because God does things, but he moves through men. God moves, but he moves through men. If men are just sitting idly by, the gospel's not going to be taken. God moves through men. He moves through individuals. He moves through flesh and blood. It's the way that he operates. So William Carey transformed the way the body of Christ for the next 200 plus years has looked at evangelism. Almost every church embraces and supports and encourages and has a heart for evangelism. Global evangelism. It's because William Carey didn't say, well, we'll wait until we see God do something. When God puts the pieces together, then we'll move. William Carey understood God moves through individuals, and we have to be bold in our faith. So in the same way that the prophet said to the people, when they said, well, the time has not yet come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So again, the people are saying, well, if it was supposed to happen, God would put all the details together. We would see that was the direction, and then we'd move in it. But obviously, since it's not happening, it must not be God's will, so we're going to go take care of our own things. And God's response to their attitude and to their comment was, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God's saying the same thing to you and I even today. Consider your ways, because it's easy for us, as I started this whole message today, it's easy for us to focus on the things of the world. It's easy for us to focus on the things that are taking place around us, the carnal things, the things that are superficial, the things that the world gives us. It's easy for us to get caught up in the concerns, the worries, the fears. It's easy for us to get caught up in finances or interrelationships with family members or coworkers. It's easy for us to get caught up in political things. It's easy for us to get caught up in all of those things and not focus on the things of God. And that was the mistake of the people. And they said, because we haven't seen the direction, God doesn't appear to be putting those things in place yet, then it must not yet be God's time. Well, this is the challenge I'd leave you with today. What are the things that are on your mind? It's what I started this off with. What are the things that you think God has called you to do? What are the things that you have some deep passions about? Whether it's going on the mission field, or whether it's starting a ministry, or it's volunteering at a ministry, it's making some kind of sacrifice. Maybe it's giving a gift or a donation to your church or to some ministry, or whatever it is God's laid on your heart to do. What is it that's in there that you've rationalized in your mind and said, well, it just doesn't seem to be convenient? Obviously, it must not be God's time, because things don't seem to be in place for it. If it's what God's told you to do, then you go do it, regardless of whether it looks like it's convenient or things have been laid out. Because when you start to move, God will move with you and he will make the way. But you have to move in faith, first of all. God said to the people in Haggai's time, he said, consider your ways. We need to be introspective and consider our own ways as well. Where am I placing my priorities? Am I so caught up in the things of my daily life in the world that I'm not paying attention to God's house, the spiritual realm, the things that God has spoken to me about? That's our challenge on a daily basis. Amen? And you know what? If you're obedient, God can move through you to change the world, just as he did through William Carey.